trying to figure out how to get the right people to the right part of the business at the right time, it's really hard, but at the same time, it's just people. Like, we just need to go connect and make good conversations, good connections. And those people who know good people. And so there's an amazing kind of word of mouth story that comes out from that.
Hello, and welcome to the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull. And on this show, we interview today's industry leaders in talent acquisition to discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds. If you are working in talent acquisition and have always wanted to sit down with your peers at other companies to exchange ideas and learn, well, this show is the next best thing. Join us each week as we bring you a new expert interview and extract their expertise. This episode is brought to you by SageMark HR. Transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology. Selecting the right recruiting solutions to enable your strategy is one of the biggest challenges leaders face today. You know technology will help, but searching all the options to find out what will work best for your specific needs can be both overwhelming and time-consuming. At SageMark HR, we make selecting the right recruiting technology easy. Our proven process has helped companies such as 3M, Comcast, Stryker, Walgreens, and many more. Reach out to us at SageMark HR for a free consultation to learn how we can help you improve results with less stress and confidently change from reacting to leading.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of TA Leaders Podcast. Today, I have an exciting interview with my good friend, John Finch. John is the SVP of Talent at Milwaukee Tool. John, welcome to the show.
Ryan, great to see you again.
Great to see you, as always. So as we usually do, let's just start out and let's talk a little bit about your background. Talk to me a little bit about how you got started in the talent space. I think you have a unique background, as all of us do in this space. Nobody starts out in it. And so just kind of go through your background a little bit and walk us through kind of how you got to where you are now.
I think my story is a little bit different than most because I actually started really having no understanding that 20 years later I would be in this space. So I started in retail sales. I had North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, and Iowa calling on retail hardware and lumber yards and depot early in its days, and then moved into a bunch of different sales and sales operations jobs. And I found my way into kind of that recruiting space in 12 on the college early talent, looking at sales and marketing hires, but not really into the true talent acquisition until it was like fall of 21.
That's great. Yeah, you've had a long career kind of in with one organization. So talk a little bit more maybe about kind of the different roles that you've held at Milwaukee Tool leading up to leading the talent acquisition team.
Remember the first role I had was just taking this beautiful red truck with a bunch of tools in it and talking to contractors that I knew very, very little about what they did, but I learned quickly by asking questions. And as you learn quickly the power of questions and the power of not knowing and being okay with that, I had a good time learning a lot about the organization. Really then jumped into a 100% commission sales job. So to the point where my wife and I were talking about if we were going to make the mortgage that month, and it was I think so. And then by the third week of the month, yeah, I'm pretty sure. And then finally the fourth week, okay, yeah, we're good. But there was this constant, you have to hustle, you have to go because no money is coming unless you're going to go out and hustle for it. Traded that for the opportunity to work in the corporate office and took my first role in the training department and really look at product training for Milwaukee Tool. Moved from there into a sales operations job, forecasting, account management, compensation for the sales organization, all the address book behind the scenes to make the sales function work. Moved back into a training role as the company evolved, added recruiting for the college side back to that, then really started jumping into the talent acquisition space and then development space. Now I have the privilege and fortune to work and actually run all of the talent organization within Milwaukee Tool, including talent management.
Yeah, that's awesome. And kudos to you. Well deserved. You're definitely very knowledgeable with the business and business operations and have held wore many hats in that organization, have the trust of the organization, and having worked with you in a few different capacities, like really, really great to have you in that role and see the good work that you're doing. So let's talk about that a little bit. So since you came into the role, talk a little bit about some of the key initiatives that you've had and kind of what it is that the team has been working on over the last year.
The talent acquisition function to me is just wonderfully complex and simple. Trying to figure out how to get the right people to the right part of the business at the right time, it's really hard, but at the same time, it's just people. Like, we just need to go connect and make good conversations, good connections. And those people who know good people. And so there's an amazing kind of word of mouth story that comes out from that. When I started, it was interesting because the team, we really hadn't spent a ton of energy and really hadn't invested the way to understand what our growth curve as an organization was going to look like. So we were behind. And the team, I think, did a brilliant job of holding on for dear life as the organization took off like a rocket ship, and they were trying to hang on and support. So we started taking a look at technology, about data, visibility, metrics, just understanding where to put the energy and the effort. And that initial first couple of months were just a lot of asking good questions in the organization, finding our priorities, and then finding ways with some partners to bring that visibility of what our current state was. And until we could start talking to the business the way they needed to hear it about recovery dates and the amount of time the projects would be kicked out and the gaps in project teams, there really wasn't the level of investment. Once we had those conversations with leaders, it was amazing how quickly we started becoming not only a business partner at the table, but also a resource to be able to deliver quickly and help us make sure that we can grow.
It's really simple, you know, getting the right people in the right jobs. Sounds really easy. Everyone thinks it's easy until you get into kind of the operational aspects of how do you make that work and how does your process work and how you remove friction in that process. And then how do you scale that and how do, you know, what are your people supposed to be doing? Like that behind the scenes stuff is really complex. And that's where it becomes challenging. And you've done a lot of work to address that. So let's talk about kind of where you see everything going. So what's next? And where are you taking the organization from a talent perspective?
We're trying to figure out how to land intact teams at the same time. So when you think about a growth or a bolt on a massive team that doesn't exist today, the replacement model, it to me is not as complicated because you typically have a little bit of history with that. Either the number two in that role previously, you look back inside your ATS, you look back inside your CRM, and you find a way to find some additional candidate options. When you're tasked with bolting on a brand new group, whether that be 5 people or 100 people, you don't want the team to be mismatched. You don't want to have a couple of people in before the manager, or you don't want to have part of engineering that's not tied to the supply chain, not tied to finance. And all of a sudden you have people waiting, trying to do their work, and they can't because their peer or their partner or one of the key stakeholders in that total team isn't actually on board. So really trying to figure out your run rate and your timeline has been a really big challenge for us. And I think that's one of the things that we're going to focus on heavily, to be able to really tell the business when they bring complex groups and when they think about additions, how are we going to say we need to start this recruiting start minus 120 days and this recruiting we can start at, let's say 40 to 42 days before, so that we land everything at about a similar time. And then we have a really good onboarding experience, a good training and development experience, and a good management and a project that really can start the way it's supposed to. So I think getting that complexity of timing is going to be a challenge as we continue to see wonderful growth. And we're spending a lot of time right now really trying to think about employment branding. As you look at the number of different companies are trying to hire the same amount of talent, it's fascinating. We've never seen this kind of wonderful competition before. And I love it. Like, I love that fight. I love that excitement of, can I beat top names in the industry, anywhere in the United States or the planet, to bring talent to the story that we have. So that employment branding message and that candidate experience are going to be really important in order for us to be able to beat out whatever Fortune 5 to 50 company that's in your brain right now. We want to fight them for talent, and we want to show that we have a story that we can win.
Yeah, you've got a great story, and you couldn't be more dead on. Like, this is a talent market like we've never seen in our careers, for sure. It's more challenging than ever. And more importantly, that the candidate of today is not the candidate of January 2020. The expectations are different. The needs are different. The experience that they're looking for is different. So the employer brand, the value proposition, the experience that you portray into the organization up and through are more and more critical. And those that understand that and are working on that will definitely win. Those that aren't and just do more of the same, it's going to be a long, even more difficult road for those folks. So you kind of came full time into the talent acquisition space in the last couple of years, more so than you had earlier in your career. Do you have any, like, I'm sure there were a lot of moments of like, oh, I didn't know this was it, but any key learnings or aha moments that you had that you would like to share? Like, oh, this is some things that I figured out or not key learning that I had coming into the space.
Yeah, I think the younger version of myself would benefit from two different points. One, I think I spent a lot of my early career internally focusing on my network, really making sure that I was well networked within the organization, within the business. I had good kind of career pathway and trajectory, and I was into some different roles because I was networked well. But when the challenge came to be like, how do you think differently? How do you think outside of what this company is currently doing? I found myself looking back in on the same group of people that we were already kind of in our own problem state. Like, we needed to have additional ideas or viewpoints to bring in. So I spent probably about 2014, I really started thinking differently and trying to really work out and building a network and connecting and trying to figure out what else was happening, whether it be some of the social connections, but just reading different things and subscribing to different, would be podcasts or learning lessons, and just really trying to make sure that I was externally facing so that when I had something I've never seen before, I could call somebody that might have or kind of get that connection point. So that external network earlier than you think in your career is for sure one, especially in talent acquisition. You need to know people that know people and can pick up the phone and get things done. The second thing, and then you and I have talked at length about this, is that reducing of the friction. Invest in the systematic ways for you to be fast and just nimble. If the team is spending all of their energy and their time trying to solve the minutiae, the administrative, well, we could do this, but I have to click these 17 times. Get rid of 16 of those clicks. Find a way to automate. Find a way to make it smooth and simple, not only because you need that time back in your life, but that means all of those minutes aren't being spent on the really challenging sourcing or networking or candidate closing effort that you now take for granted. Your candidates are lost, or you don't even have the opportunity to talk to them. So really intentional system work. And when I got involved with TA in a more holistic way, you were my first call to be like, okay, Ryan, I don't think I've got the tech stack I need. I don't think that I'm really positioned to eliminate this friction. And in the first 45 days, you and I knocked down three opportunities to make sure that we could get there faster. And I think that investment early in the system makes everybody stronger, faster, and more effective later. So better networks and better systems.
That's great stuff. And yeah, it was a pleasure working with you and the team. And that's the name of the game right now. I think the networking piece and understanding, it's such a, you know, you keep going back to like the comment you said, it's so easy, but yet it's so hard, right? And as you go out in the ecosystem and how people are delivering the service of talent acquisition today. And it's just such a fast moving space. And especially when you start getting in to technology, a tech enabled delivery model is paramount. You can't survive without it, but navigating that space and finding out what works for me, what works within our process and our culture and our base level system, how do I get it to make the experience what I want and remove that friction to make it easy and simple for people. Getting from the vision to the actual execution is hard because that ecosystem is confusing. And so appreciate the opportunity. I've worked with you and great to hear that you celebrate that. And so that was a lot of fun. Any other advice that you would give anyone else in the TA space or the talent space?
Talent is this amazing opportunity to engage with some of the most passionate and powerful human beings on the planet. You work so hard for your internal customers, and you see what can be there. What I think has been interesting is the transition of that desire to help other people and really be engaged in the business of people without always having the data, the metrics, the financial acumen, the financial data storytelling to get the organization to be there with you. We really started working on that talent acquisition storytelling. We needed to be able to show run rate, and we had to show that, hey, with this number of openings, at this kind of timeline to fill, we're looking at this amount of recovery date. And it was years, years in the future. And when we had that conversation with the executive team, everything changed. Everything changed when we sat down and said, okay, your plan for the P&L, when you think about your gross revenue at the top, you will not be able to deliver that because you literally don't have the people to create the products to generate the revenue. So your growth plans on new products are not possible because you physically can't hire fast enough. And here's the pain we're going to have. In order for us to solve that problem, we want this amount of SG&A to be able to then actually amplify that new product development cycle with the right talent. As the market's evolving, we need to think differently. So you start bringing in a conversation that is P&L based, metric based, business based on behalf of the people that we need to benefit from that. I really do believe the talent going forward you have to marry the data and the data storytelling, the profit and loss, the business acumen and operation side, or we will always be behind. We're an easy department to underfund. We're an easy department to not really worry about because there's, we'll just take care of it. It'll happen. It'll take care of itself. You have people that are frustrated and stressed, not doing what they could be because they're either wasting time with systems or administrative work. We have to be better as leaders to tell that story. And whether it be some simple finance for non-financial manager classes or calling people that are good in this space and walking through, got to get better at the data storytelling and the metrics to understand how the cash and the P&L of the business works. And then you're really super relevant to that executive team and to your finance partners. And it's really simple to get things approved and move fast in the business. And by the way, the people that we're working for, they benefit because of the work we do. So I think you're going to see a huge shift in talent upskilling over the next 24 months. If you haven't already started, I know most of the people on this podcast that are listening are already focused on that. You're going to see your peers trying to catch up, which means we got to stay that one little bit ahead, because if the rest of the talent teams that we're fighting with for talent are smarter and getting more resources in their companies, that means that we've got more work to do to stay ahead of them.
That's great advice. And yeah, the power of the business case and coming at it business first and business value first, I think is absolutely critical. I see organizations all the time. Many do it well. And those that do it well are able to move quickly, get approval to make the transformation that they need to be successful in this market. Those that don't have that skill set or aren't viewed as business leaders within their organization are really struggling. And some of the ROI of the investments you can make right now is astronomical, but businesses don't necessarily understand it. And it makes it hard for these leaders. And it's hard to watch because you can see this off the charts ROI, but they can't tell the story effectively and aren't asking for help to tell the story until they kind of just sit there with like, well, I got approval for one headcount, but I can't do anything else. And it's like, well, yeah, but that's not going to get you where you need to go. So I think it's great advice for people to build that muscle, build that capability or get help, and then tell the story in a way that impacts the business. And because you got to stay ahead, like you can't do what you have always done anymore.
100% true.
That's great, John. Well, thank you so much. Really greatly appreciate you and appreciate you being a guest on the podcast. We'll talk soon. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ryan. Take care.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. If something we said today resonated with you, please subscribe, rate, and download our podcast and share the episode with your network. Ready to transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology just like our other clients at 3M, Comcast, Stryker, and Walgreens? Then reach out at sagemarkhr.com for a free consultation.